From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive, TGIF, and a nice-looking day. I mean, there have been some clouds today, but a little bit warmer, and, man, enjoy it. I mean, you better enjoy it here over the next hour and a half, 2 hours, because when the sun goes down, it is going to get cold, and then it's just going to stay cold for a while. The high tomorrow might reach 30 degrees. The wind chill feels like temperature is going to be in the teens most of the day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we had a couple of things my wife wanted to get done. She said, we better do them tonight.
Yeah.
Better get them done tonight. And if you have not taken care of those, you know, the peas, people, plants, pets,
yep,
pipes.
Yeah.
You'd better. Because I mean the low tomorrow night is going to be what are the, 16, 17 somewhere in
17,
there
17, but the wind is really going to be whipping.
It's going to feel like 4 or 5 or something like that. So I mean,
the high tomorrow maybe 29.
Yeah, that's what I said. Maybe. It might get around 30. So be aware, because that's going to be a
shock.
Quite a surprise to some folks.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're here with you. We'll talk. We'll talk whatever you'd like. I would imagine we'll focus primarily on sports. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. We got Drew at the controls, and one of our favorite guys who's usually with us on Wednesdays was down in Mobile, because the Senior Bowl's coming up this weekend, and Auburn coach Alex Golish was down there, and there was a media opportunity with Coach Golish. So our guy Jason Caldwell was down there, and we ran a little of the audio that from that interview with Alex Golish. But now we have the man himself from Auburn Undercover, who's over at the ballpark, I believe, this afternoon, as Auburn baseball just 2 weeks away from opening day. Jason Caldwell joining us here for the first couple of segments of the show on this Friday. JC, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. Yeah, just taking advantage of a day where you feel like you want to be out of here, because there's going to be a few days where, they're not going to do much tomorrow, and probably not much Sunday either, so came out to take advantage of a little sunshine this afternoon.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's go ahead and talk a little about baseball, because, I mean, the excitement continues to build, and looks like more of the pieces sort of are falling into place. I mean, we had a pretty good idea about the starting eight. I mean, a couple of battles there, but pitching has been, you know, the question as to who's going to fit in where, and it's looking like more and more of those pieces. Auburn may know now a couple of the weekend starters, as a couple of lefties look like they're out there out front, and maybe some of the guys toward the back end of the pen as well.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of trying to figure out the roles and where everybody fits right now. Yeah, I think Jake Marciano is a guy you feel pretty good about. Mm-hmm. He fits pretty well, the Virginia Tech transfer, and you know, Drew Whalen and some other guys. And in the back end, Garrett Brewer, Ethan Bigaman, been pretty good. And can you find all the middle pieces? You know, that'll probably be something that you still look at even early into the season. But the good thing is you got a lot of options. And so, but this team's going to swing the bat. I mean, just looking today, I mean, like, it, you know, Chase Fralick and some of these guys are just continuing to swing the bat really well. Chris Rembert and, you know, this Orange team where you go, Rembert, Fralick, Guevara, Bub Terrell, Todd Clay, that's a pretty good strong group that you have to get through for a pitcher. So they've been swinging it pretty good so far.
All right, you mentioned Marciano. I mean, who do you feel, you know, who do you feel's got the edge right now as we head into the 2 weeks away from opening day to be that weekend starting trio?
Yeah, I would say, if I had to guess, I would say Marciano, Drew Whalen, and maybe like an Andres Alvarez, maybe. But Christian Chatterton's right there too. And Alex Petrovic. I mean, they've got some options. I would say those three guys would be my guesses. Probably feel better about Marciano maybe than anybody else at the moment, but I would say those are guys that all have a chance for sure.
I believe Brian talked to Butch for a couple of minutes, and Butch mentioned Griffin Graves as well as a possibility.
Yeah, Graves has been a guy that's been kind of working in that role to see if he could step up and do it. You know, physically he's got the skills, and so he's been kind of a middle relief guy. But they've been working him as a starter, so he'll be another one of those guys that's in the mix. Yeah, no question.
I mean, the good thing is right now there are quite a few options, and what's really interesting here the first couple of weeks is how many guys they can get out there and test them under fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, what happens with this group, and like I said, lots of things, but...
I think they have more options than they've had a lot of times in the past.
Yeah, no, definitely more options in every spot. I mean, position players, pitchers, there is more depth and more guys that can challenge and do some things, so I think there's a lot of opportunities, I think it's going to create some competition for this team, and kind of see how they respond will determine things, especially here early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, a ton of excitement. So many, so many exciting returnees and a really impressive group coming in as well. So, I mean, everybody's hoping, go ahead and get the cold out of the way here over the next week or so, and let's warm things up hopefully by the 13th of February.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's something that like I said, can you get kind of into a rhythm and a little bit of a groove early on and see what happens? I got to send a message really quick. Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, Jason. I was going to say if you needed us to fill here for a minute or two, that's not a problem. We can do that. I mean, Jason, of course. Yeah. Has been following baseball. He'll know it, but I mean, I'm really excited. Everybody I know that's a season ticket holder really can't wait
to see
these guys. He mentioned a couple of the returning sophomores.
Right.
Chris Rimmer, the preseason All-American. Chase Frelick has already been tabbed as one of the top five catchers in America this year. And then you mentioned Bub, and I'm hoping we've got Cade Ballou, Eric Guevara are 100% because those are a couple
absolutely.
Of guys too.
Yeah, no, you're right. You go, what's it look like at first base? The first base, third base, I think outfield is, you feel good about Ballou and some of these. It is a couple of spots. Like, how does that look? Ryan Farber, can he be the shortstop? If he can, you move Guevara back to third and maybe play Todd Clay at first. So I think there's some options there, some opportunities. But, I think there's still definitely some things that will be decided for sure.
Oh, yeah. So again, we can't wait. But in the meantime, before we get to football, wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, another big, big basketball game, a big test for the Tigers tomorrow as they travel up to snowy Knoxville, Tennessee, in what I would think, Jason, it's hard to imagine this isn't going to be another defensive struggle, because that's what Rick Barnes has always had, and that's what Stephen Pearl has been wanting and now has been getting here over this four-game winning streak.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just kind of finding a rhythm, finding a way to play as a team and play defense, doing some of the things they've done has been a big part of it. And so they build some confidence and, can you win when you're not playing your best? That's been a big deal. And they've been able to do that. And can you keep that going? I think that's something to watch for this team. And so, I think that's part of, maybe the mindset right now is, look, just find a way. And they've been able to find a way here for this team. And so I think if you can do that, then you'll have a chance to go play for something here down the road, and that's what you're looking for. I'm sorry to cut things short, but that's got a message that I got to be on a call, like with our company, and so I need to run.
Okay.
I didn't know it was going to happen, but I apologize, guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Jason. Yeah, hey, man, yeah. We appreciate any time we get a chance to talk to Jason. Auburn Undercover, check him out. We may run a little more of the audio. We'll talk more about some of the things that Alex Golish had to say down in Mobile, and we'll obviously go into more. Detail talking about the Auburn-Tennessee matchup. Hey, we understand. I mean, when the company calls, you got to respond there. So
yeah, 2 weeks from today, right?
Yeah, baseball. How about that? Yep, that's what I mean. I'm
Youngstown.
I am just – there have been way too many times when the season starts and you feel like that's when that cold front comes. Maybe it's going to go ahead and get here.
Get here and get out of the way, hopefully.
Yep. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and get to our first break. We'll open up our phone lines. We've got audio from Stephen Pearl we can let you hear. We got a chance to talk to Philip Jovich today. And then there's obviously a good bit to talk about from Alex Golish. I was telling Don about some other news, I think, which is good news regarding Auburn football as well. We'll talk about that and more just getting underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with you.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan will be back Monday, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, I can't... I would imagine they've braved the toughest weather they're going
to
be in.
Yeah, they played at 1:30 today and won. And I know they need to get out of North Carolina because they're going to get hammered this week along up and down the East Coast. So I think they moved that game up from this evening or tomorrow even till today at 1:30. And they won two games this week.
Yeah, that team is really playing well coming in. Speaking of women's basketball, Auburn women's basketball has been moved from Oxford, Mississippi to Birmingham for their game on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball game, of course, will be right here on ESPN 106.7. It's a 6 o'clock tip in Birmingham. Because hey, University of Mississippi, Ole Miss is basically shut down.
Yes.
Right now, I mean, they are closed, I know, until February 8th. They've already announced that because of all the damage that was done there. So Auburn and Ole Miss will be playing at a, quote, neutral site there in Birmingham. And so that means we'll be off a little early on Monday, but Dan should be back for that. So keep that in mind. Again, Auburn-Tennessee basketball, we had a chance to spend some time with Stephen Pearl today and also with Philip Jovich. And Stephen, no question, I mean, saying, look, it's all about, you know, Auburn being as clean as possible offensively. Tennessee and Rick Barnes has been so difficult for Auburn to score on. Yeah. I mean, there have been times when, you know, 50 would win a game between these two teams. Now, I'm thinking it's probably not going to be that low scoring, but I'd be surprised if either team gets to 70, they may have won fairly comfortably.
Yeah, he does a great job with defense, and that, you know, that's his MO. And look at all the past Auburn scores, especially in Knoxville. They've been low scoring affairs, you know, in the 40s 1 year, I think, not too long
46
ago.
43 or something was score. I don't know why that came to me, but I've got a feeling
crazy.
That was it.
Yeah, so expect to be a defensive battle, a couple of good games in the SEC tomorrow, and then a big one Sunday between two guys that don't seem to be getting along right now. As you mentioned earlier, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. And my goodness, Alabama and Florida.
I mean,
Florida.
They're just back and
forth. Yeah, Todd Golden came out with the Charles Bediako thing first broke. Todd Golden said, well, we're going to beat him whether he's on the team or not. And, you know, Nate Oates, not one to, you know, take things like that lightly or let it slide. Apparently today was asked about, you know, Florida is leading the nation in rebounding.
Wow.
And Nate Oates said, well, when they let you stay in the lane 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds, you can do that.
I'm anxious to just watch those.
Yeah,
two.
that could be a pretty chippy ball game.
They'll be ready.
The fans in Gainesville, they will not. They'll be out. I mean, they'll be on Betty Ako in Alabama.
Yeah, they'll have
the
signs
entire game.
And,
absolutely,
money bags and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So. So we will see on that one. A huge ball game tonight.
Yes.
Top 10 matchup.
Shocking.
Michigan State tonight. Number 3 versus number 7.
Yeah.
At East Lansing.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock on Fox. Yeah, I'm surprised, like we were talking earlier, Bill, Friday night game, but, like, you know, not much else going on. The college football
is
over.
Yeah, I mean,
hate it for high school sports. I still hate that. Anything that happens on Friday night, call me old fuddy-duddy or old school. But I know it's all about money and eyeballs. And should be a good game. Two good teams.
Oh, two really, really good teams. The two top teams in the Big Ten right now, each at 9-1 in conference play going in. So, yeah, that ought to be a heck of a ball game tonight. I would think there'll be more points scored in that one than they will be up in Knoxville tomorrow. You know, tomorrow, it's interesting, you know, Justin Ferguson was on with us yesterday, mm-hmm. was here yesterday.
Right.
And he was saying, yeah, he still thinks that he's, you know, he's planning on being there, but it is snowing.
And they're getting more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And snow isn't so much the concern. It's, is it going to warm up enough to melt it
and
have it turn to ice?
Yeah, that black ice, whatever you want to call it, that's no fun. A lot of hills up in that area too.
No, you're not kidding. So I mean that is the concern. So I do wonder at the crowd. I would think that's going to hinder a lot of Auburn folks that might have been thinking about going up there. Because the thing is, it'd be different if it were like an early game, if it were a noon or a two. It is an 8:30 Eastern tip.
I'm surprised they didn't move that up with the weather coming in. But I mean, who knows? I don't know. They're expecting 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight in Knoxville with a low of 17. Tomorrow the high is 21, the low of 12.
Well, if the high is 21, though, the snow is it's gonna be snow.
Yeah.
So I mean that
and
doesn't give it a chance.
Could get another 1 to 3 tomorrow. Too.
Yeah, that's what Ferg was talking about over there when
some folks were asking him if he's still going.
No, well he was at the press conference today.
Oh, so
he was at Stephen's press conference this morning.
Early.
Yep.
Well, he can go down and get there and hang out at Calhoun's down on the river.
Well,
great
just
barbecue
hoping to get there. And then what's the weather Sunday? Because that's the concern is Saturday night and Sunday for people that are going and spending the night.
Sunday 30, low 11.
Okay, so hopefully
it's going to be freezing the whole time.
Yeah, he's
below
out of
freezing.
He's out of there and it's just snow.
Yeah.
All right, here by the way, here's your schedule, the full schedule for the SEC on Saturday. Games get started at noon. With Texas A&M, your conference leader right now.
Unbelievable.
At Georgia. Man, Georgia coming off that heartbreaking loss to Tennessee.
And
Stephen Pearl talked about that a little bit today. I mean, the fact Justin mentioned yesterday that Tennessee, the ridiculous number for Tennessee is they had 26 offensive rebounds in that ball game against Georgia. Now, Stephen Pearl today said, Tennessee's averaging 20 offensive rebounds in every one of their wins. So they are the best offensive rebounding team in America.
Mm.
But think about this. Georgia, if Georgia could have held them to 20 offensive rebounds, they win the ball game.
Yeah.
But they lost that game by one.
Overtime.
And I mean, Georgia has had a couple of those. So we'll see how. I mean, Georgia is a tough team.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Texas A&M Buckyball goes on the road in Athens tomorrow at noon. Also at noon, LSU is at South Carolina. That's a couple of teams really looking for a win.
Right.
I mean, a couple of teams that are
struggling, but both can be dangerous, as we know.
Really struggling. They're right down there near the bottom, along with Oklahoma. LSU 1-7, South Carolina 2-6. So a game that desperately both teams are in need of a win. Mentioned Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 1-7. and they're hosting Texas. That is a bitter rivalry.
Yep.
But, you know, Texas, much better than the 3-5 mark that they have.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, we saw that the other night at the arena. I mean, they have beaten four top 25 teams,
right.
but they have lost some close ones as well. That is a 1 o'clock game on ESPN2. At 2:30 tomorrow, Mississippi State is at Missouri. Then the evening slate of games at 5 o'clock on the SEC Network, Ole Miss is at Vandy, a Vandy team that you know, won its first three and was unbeaten overall, lost three straight. Now they won two in a row. So sort of a streaky team. Kentucky, after that just embarrassment the other night, is at Arkansas. Cal, you think he's licking his chops?
Yeah, you know, they went into Rupp last year and beat him.
Yes, they did.
That killed a lot of Kentucky fans, including me. But, yeah, I think Arkansas could beat the living dog out of them if they're not careful.
I think that could be on the horizon.
Yes.
And then that's a 5:30 game, by the way. And then the final game of the day there, as we mentioned in snowy
Knoxville,
is Auburn and Tennessee. I wonder what the crowd will be. I would guess that local folks maybe might come over and see if there's some. Tickets to be able to get in.
I don't know how much travel.
I wonder how far people will be able to travel
to
get
in.
I'd say
there might be a bunch of students, and who knows? Because that's a big arena.
You're not kidding.
20,000. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they didn't move that game up because they moved them all up last week.
Yeah.
Kentucky played at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, maybe Tennessee wants as much of an advantage as possible and doesn't want as many Auburn people there or whatever. Tennessee, though, I mean, they've got to be really excited because they were on the road last week when they beat Alabama and Georgia.
Yes.
So they're back home after those two huge road wins. And Auburn, on the other hand, is feeling really good after winning four straight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's two teams that are feeling really good about each other. Maybe they just couldn't do it. Maybe they felt like, well, it's going to be snow, and we're used to driving in that, and just the fact of losing
and
that national
night game
TV
against
game.
Auburn, yeah. And then the women's game today, which I did not know, Vanderbilt lost to Ole Miss. Women.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I guess they changed that game too.
Well, I mean, a lot of games are having to be.
It was supposed to be at Ole Miss. I guess they played at Ole Miss.
I'd be surprised if they played
too.
At Ole Miss.
Look here.
I would think maybe they played it.
No, they played in Birmingham.
They played it in Birmingham as well.
Wow. So now they've just moved their operations.
Their home court for the time being is there at Birmingham.
And they beat Vanderbilt, which is 20.
They may want to stay there. That's probably not great news for Auburn that Ole Miss has already played and won, and they'll just be staying there, and it'll be like, and it is their home court. When they take on Auburn on Monday night.
Is that correct? Vanderbilt women are 20-1?
I knew they were off to a great start.
Well, they got beat today.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, weather can impact.
Yeah.
Just because of changes in venue and times.
Yeah.
And you wonder how many folks were able to be there, even knew about the game being played. So that's crazy. Again, we've got some audio we'll try to get to you. From Stephen Pearl, maybe even the Philip Jovich. We'd love your thoughts on the matchup of Auburn and Tennessee. We'll recap again Alex Golis's trip down to Mobile and he and the football staff's trip to Montgomery.
Very impressive.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and more. Again, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we continue with the Friday edition of The Drive.
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to the Friday edition of The Drive. I tell you what, we'll hold off on Stephen for a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about Auburn football, Don. We ran some of the audio from Alex Golish down in Mobile, and not a lot of revelations. I mean, he seems pretty pleased mm-hmm. with the job that his staff has done in bringing in 39 transfers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went into detail, and we can talk about that. Over a little bit of time as well. Loving the depth in the running back room, adding Bryson Washington from Baylor, Tay Meadows from Troy. That's a couple of proven running backs. Someone had asked us a couple of days ago about the tight ends. He loves using tight ends, and he's got flexibility there with the Herring youngster who's coming in from Louisiana. Was it ULM and Louisiana? Who has been a quarterback for 4 years, but he's a 6'5", 230-pounder who's played H-back. He's played some slot receiver. He's a big physical guy. I think you could see him all over the place and possibly a guy that's big on special teams as well. But he really really talked a good bit about the offensive line, where they brought in 9 transfers on the offensive line, including 6 experienced guys, 5 seniors, and then a junior. Stanton Ramil from Michigan State has got another year of eligibility, mm-hmm. but 5 other guys who have started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a possibility that they could put together an entire starting line from the transfers, but they also bring in 3 guys with multiple years of experience. Mm-hmm. They have 3 returning players, including Cale Ellis, who started some last year. And then a couple of youngsters that they really like coming back as redshirt freshmen, and then signed 5 more. So all of a sudden, there are a lot of numbers there on the offensive line.
Yeah, you can't have enough offensive linemen. We've talked about that before. You know, my philosophy, offensive and defensive linemen are the backbone of your team. And that just goes to show that they recognize the need to fill those gaps on the offensive line. A good group, like you said, they're older, they're experienced, they've all played, they've all started, and good programs. So, yeah, and with the running backs, those 2 guys you mentioned are proven. A lot of yards, tough, hard-nosed runners. Again, we haven't talked about the quarterbacks, but I know he said he was very happy about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well,
he knows the guy.
He knows every one of them very well.
I may not win a game, but I'm very impressed with what they've done in the short time they've been here. I like him. I like what he says. And, again, I don't know him from Adam, but I like the way he talks. I like the way he presents himself. And I know you're going to mention about them going to Montgomery.
That was big. The football, the Alabama High School Football Coaches Convention going on, and I mean, all the coaches are there. I mean, everybody in the state
and a lot of sports.
Are there. And yesterday was the guest speakers day, and Kalen DeBoer got things started. John Sumrall, who's now, of course, at Florida.
Right.
But boy, the coaches in the state know who he is. High school coaches have known him from his years in the state and recruiting the state.
Right.
And then Alex Golish was there to wrap things up, but it wasn't just Alex Golish. And he took his staff, not just his assistant coaches, but he took a large number of the support personnel with him, and they were there apparently for a long period of time, mingling, getting to know if they didn't already know, introducing themselves, and he was introducing the staff as assistants and the staff to coaches. And I've read comments from 3 or 4 coaches across the state, high school coaches across the state, saying, "Wow, that's really impressive."
Yep.
That what he did and how many people he brought and how important it is to them to see how important they are to Auburn.
Exactly. Reminds me of Coach Tuberville. When we were here, we tried to attend all those things. I think that's just so important, so impressive. Not just only him being there, but all the assistants and the support staff. I know he will do the same thing in the Georgia high school deal. Probably in the Florida high school deal, And that is, like you said, Bill, so important to build those relationships, to be seen, to mingle, to shake hands, wearing the Auburn gear, inviting them to campus. I know everybody they saw, they said, come see us. Come see us. And those coaches appreciate that. I mean, you got to do it. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I know they're busy, more so now with all the other stuff, the calendar. But you got to do those things. You got to get out. And you may see a coach from a 1A school that never had a player, never will, but you make that guy feel important. And down the road, it's going to help you some way,
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it may, and it may not even be at that school.
No, it could be his cousin.
Yeah.
He might know the coach at another school. You can't do enough of that. I'm so proud they're doing that, and I'm happy to hear that. That's one thing. We didn't win them all, but we sure got out and sold Auburn to everybody we could when we were here.
Yeah, I was just reading Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover wrote a story about Auburn making inroads with in-state coaches and talking about just that, saying that the every position coach, every assistant position coach, and a large majority of the personnel and scouting department were there in Montgomery, and there were some quotes. Prattville head coach Bobby Carr said, it just tells you they're trying to do what they can to recruit the state, and I don't blame them. There's a lot of good talent here, and they also came out to our high school today and spent about 3 or 4 hours recruiting our guys.
Yep.
They're doing a great job of getting their brand out there.
You know, and another thing about going to the high school, you just can't run in and leave your card. You got to get in there and talk, and you may have to stay 2 hours, 3 hours. And again, that guy might not have a player, but down the road it pays off.
Well,
you just got to work. You got to get out and work.
Well, I loved how he wrapped things up. He said, man, it was very impressive.
Yeah.
He said, Auburn's in good hands. I'll say that. He's a good, genuine guy, and I can tell you he's got a fire about him to do what he's got to do to get Auburn turned around.
I like that, too. I don't know. Like I said, I've never met Coach. I want to soon. But I can tell by his actions and his voice that I don't think there's going to be a lot of standing around and chit-chatting. He's going to get after it.
Let's see. Oxford head coach Sam Adams said, I think the fact that so many of those guys are here tonight and hanging out and really just being one of the guys at functions like this shows they know how important high school football coaches are to the state.
Sam was here with us years ago. Yeah. You got to do it. I mean, I enjoy doing that, and I know they do too. You know, and when I was a high school coach, I couldn't wait to see a big-time college coach come to my school and just say hello to me. He didn't know me from, Joe's Crab Shack, but it's amazing. Got to do it.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that is I think that's nothing but good news to hear there that they're doing everything they can to get the Auburn brand out there and let them know that they're interested, they care about them.
Right.
They hope they get some reciprocation.
And don't think the guy from Alabama didn't notice that either.
Oh, you know that.
He probably went back and said, what the hell are we doing? I mean, I don't know how many they had, but they should have had a bunch too.
Yep.
Hey, great for us. Got to do it. You got to do it. Can't be lazy. Got to get out and work.
Yeah, we may run the Golish audio
He's
again.
He's good.
Did you hear me telling the story yesterday? I didn't get a chance to hear every single bit of it.
No, I did not.
I got interrupted on the way over to the
okay.
to the game. Yeah, my bad.
Anyway.
So, So I mean, every time, I look up now, I'm seeing, Alex Golish at this high school or the other high school coaches out there.
Or one of his assistants getting a picture made with the coach. Thank you for stopping by. That's important. And that's big when you get it out on Facebook or whatever they do now. I don't know all that stuff, but get it out there. And they can still do that for, a couple more weeks?
Yeah. What's interesting, let's see, we're going to have – now, we'll have to try to work this out. I got to figure out Dan's schedule next week because next Wednesday – by the way, next Wednesday is National Signing Day.
What?
I mean, can you believe – how have things changed?
Golly.
Let me tell you what, in the past
– we'd be a nervous
That's
wreck.
All we'd be talking about
we'd
today.
We'd have a list.
We would be talking about, who has
who's
flipped
visiting.
Their cats, who's doing – who's going to flip?
Who's coming
who's
this
still
weekend.
Left out there? Yeah. That's right. Who have you got in for the last weekend?
Who's going to be – where are we going to be Sunday night in the home?
That's right. But I mean,
be the last.
There are a few guys, I guess, that are unsigned out there. I don't know if Auburn's planning on signing anyone. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn finds a few guys to sign. They've got double figure scholarships left available, but Alex Golish is still going to meet with the media at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and I thought what was interesting was that the release says. Head coach Alex Golish will meet with the media on National Signing Day in the multipurpose room at Waltos Performance Center. And then the coordinators are going to come in. So that means next Wednesday, that means Jason will be there. We'll have to see if
Dan's got a game.
If Dan's got a game next Wednesday. Crap.
Yeah. So I'll be here.
Yeah. So we will be here. And we won't have, and man, we won't be able
Jason
to be over
will be
there.
Over there.
Jason will be over there. Oh man, because that's one of those opportunities. Man, I'd love the opportunity. Have not really had an opportunity to meet with offensive coordinator Joel Gordon. Obviously, yeah. DJ Durkin we have,
yeah.
But it'll be great to hear what DJ Durkin and Joel Gordon, but especially DJ's got to say about, you know, now being with Alex Golish, the players that they have coming back, the players that they've added, so I think Wednesday will be really interesting, and then the next week, all the assistant coaches going to be available.
Wow.
On Tuesday, offensive coaches and special teams coaches, the special teams will be on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday, the defensive coaches.
Good.
Here over the next couple of weeks, media is going to have an opportunity to get to know all the coaches. That's why we've got to figure a way to get over there. We need to get them to change that to the morning instead of the afternoon. My goodness.
That is so great that they're doing that, you know, being able to talk to the coaches. You know, a lot of guys, head coaches, won't let the assistants ever speak.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we've had that situation in the past.
Crazy.
But that's not going to be the case.
No, that's awesome. See, he's doing all the right things right, I think. You know, you got to do what he's doing. You got to get out. You got to work. You can't be lazy.
All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. Again, phone lines are open. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck, SPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we'll get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Spectre gets us started. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Coach Dunn?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to be charting new territory here this fall. Tell me how hard it's going to be for five linemen coming from different places going to jail together.
I don't think it'll be hard at all because they're here now. They'll have the whole winter. Now you can coach them so many hours a day.
And I'll tell you, Spectre, why it's not as difficult as if they were all five from different places. Two of them were starters at South Florida for their offensive line coach who's with them, offensive coordinator who's with them, and head coach who's with them. So they've got two seniors who have been in this system for multiple years that are going to be coming in. So it's like having two returning starters. They're better off than a school that might have two returning starters with a brand new coach. And a position coach.
I don't think it'll be a problem. We got plenty of time because now you can spend time with them. When I was coaching, you could not – during the off season, we couldn't coach them. You know what I'm saying? Spend time with them on the field. They can do that now. Yeah.
And the best – and the best thing of those guys, one of them's your center. So they've got a guy who was an all-conference type center down there – at South Florida, stepping in He understands the offense. He knows the checks and the calls. And the guy right next to him at one of the guards was his teammate at South Florida. So I think that's a great start to have when you've got the same position coach and play caller.
Well, tell me, you say the coach is going to have time to work with him. When you're talking about that time, are we talking about scrimmaging, or are we just talking about classroom?
No, I'm talking about on-the-field instruction. I think you get 2 hours a week or 4 hours a week. I don't know the exact rule.
Right, this obviously wouldn't be scrimmaging at this point.
No, but and then you'll have spring ball, then you'll have the summer workouts. Mm-hmm. So you've got about 7 or 8 months to get ready.
For some reason, I keep having this thought in my mind that you know how – offense has to get together when they play in like an all-star game, like north, south, east, west game.
Yes, sir.
And that's the time. That's what keeps going through my head, that the offense ain't going to have enough time to get really keyed up to play right.
I think we'll be fine. And like Bill said, it's a plus to have those coaches and players from the same organization or same group.
Yeah,
plus you got your quarterback.
Yeah, you've got your quarterback. You have the top four receivers that were his top four receivers from a year ago, and you have two guys there on the offensive line. So you've got a half a dozen guys who already understand this system and are ready to run it. That you need to then add the other players that you're trying to teach the system to.
Well, after hearing you two guys, I'm ready to see them in the playoffs.
Hey,
well, I'm ready to see them on the field. I can tell you that. I think we're going to see a much more exciting product offensively.
Yeah, I think we're going to be a lot daggone tougher. I'll give you that, Spector. I like this guy.
Amen.
And we got to get tougher. Amen. We can't be lazy, and we got to get after it. And you're right. It's the O-line and D-line, buddy.
Yep. I tell you what, you know, we can't get any worse, right, guys?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen some worse.
I can't comment.
But they definitely need to get better.
I've been involved in some pretty bad games.
All right, guys. Later.
Good hearing from you, Spector. I mean, that's a legit concern. But I mean, you really think about it, Auburn. It's crazy. Has two returning starters, even though they didn't start at Auburn.
Right. It's fine.
They've got two returning starters for this offense.
Yeah, I feel a lot better
on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then, and I mentioned Stanton Ramil a little while ago, mm-hmm. who was a left tackle at Michigan State. Joe Simmons is a guy who has been a left tackle that they're going to look at right tackle.
Tackles.
I mean,
they've got
three guys who started at tackle.
Yeah. So
this past year that they're bringing in to compete for the starting tackle spots.
You got to protect that quarterback, especially on his backside. My goodness.
Yeah, so I'm
excited about it. I mean, I might be crazy.
The competition is going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, there are a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn.
That's good.
I really think this probably is going to be the most scholarship players. Now, other schools may be in the same situation. I don't know. But, I mean, Auburn's going to have as many scholarship players to work with in the spring or more than I think they may have ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if they've got 95 guys on scholarship, 90 of them at least should be out there going through winter workouts and spring practice.
Right.
If they don't add anybody here in the signing period that starts next Wednesday.
Good problem to have.
Yep.
Believe me.
And then you still have the opportunity, if you're wondering about getting more experienced guys, there's still some players in the portal that maybe couldn't get in school this spring that you'd be able to add because, just because the portal is closed doesn't mean, I mean, you've got 1,000 or so players that are out there.
I saw that. Wow.
You know, that don't have homes right now. Some of them, I would imagine most of them will continue in school wherever they are, hoping to find a spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, somebody from that group, but more likely somebody who graduates at the end of the spring.
Yeah, okay.
Because those guys, anybody who graduates doesn't have to worry about going into the portal. They are eligible to transfer.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff still going on, like you said, Bill. Let me ask you this. I don't know. So, say I enter the portal. I'm still in school at Brown University.
Whatever. Uh-huh.
I don't go anywhere. Can I go back to Brown?
It's up to the school.
So they don't have to take me back.
They don't have to take you back.
Wow.
But you're in the portal. If you're in the portal and the semester or quarter, what it's usually semester, has started, you'll be able to finish it out. Mm. so you've at least got a chance to finish it out and try to find a spot. But for a lot of the kids, it depends on
the coach
and the player. It depends on, is it somebody they really want back, or is it somebody they're like, we've already, because there could be a situation where they've already replaced him.
Yeah, for sure. Boy.
So that's the gamble you take.
That's right.
When you go into the portal.
Don't want to burn them bridges.
Woo! All right, hour number one of the drive is in the books. We've got another hour to go. We didn't run any audio. We've got plenty we can run for you in hour number two, but we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Right back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Nice, a pretty comfortable day. It's been a little breezy, but
not bad.
But not as cold as we had seen. Yep, still light here a little after 5 o'clock. But as we said early on, be prepared, folks. It is coming. Cold is coming. Winter is coming.
Yeah, the coldest day.
Seen a few memes and things on that, haven't we? With the weather that's going on. Look, what we get is going to be nothing compared to folks north of us, but still, be prepared. It's going to be darn cold here for
the
next few days.
And on the East Coast, all through the Carolinas, and weird, coming through the, I guess, back up through the Gulf.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm glad. All right, my sisters visited last weekend, waited till Monday, went back up there. You're going to be messing around in the Carolinas, driving up and down, trying to drive around the mountains or anything up there. Mm-hmm. This weekend, we're going to be in for it. I mean, fortunately, it doesn't look like, you know, we're going to get anything really damaging. There's slight possibility of some snow flurries.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, but I mean, the main thing is going to be cold. It's going to be in the 20s tonight. The high tomorrow may only be in the 20s. Going to be in the teens tomorrow night, and the wind chill is going to be in single digits. So be prepared for that. We're here with you for the next hour to wrap things up for the week. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we'd love to hear from you on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, and Terry is up first this hour. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Coach, how y'all doing?
Great.
Good. Bill, got a question for you about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
What has been the big offseason transition? What team has been the most active? I don't follow it that closely, to be honest with you.
Well, let's see. The Dodgers got Kyle Tucker. I mean, the Dodgers get whoever they want every year. Alex Bregman is now a Cub.
Really?
Yeah. Who are the other big? I'm trying to think of the other big names that have gone anywhere. Most of the others.
Alonso went to the Orioles.
Yeah, that's right. Pete Alonso is now in the American League with Baltimore.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. I don't follow. Like I said, I don't follow it that closely.
Well, it's funny. I do during the season, but I mean, in the off season, I sort of wait and catch up because of everything that's been, especially going on with the transfer portal and then college basketball.
Well, the transfer portal is a lot to keep up with, as you just said.
You ain't kidding.
Prior to the break, what, 1,000 kids left over in the portal?
Yes. Yeah, and I guarantee a good number of them aren't happy, and I can't guarantee that they're going to be. If they find a spot, it may be at a level lower than they were hoping.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the spring coming up. Everybody's undefeated.
Yeah, right now. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, the old hope springs eternal, and yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's playing, you know. They're playing for undefeated seasons right now, so it's okay to be optimistic. I heard Spector a little bit on the, earlier on the, and I agree with everything you said on the offensive line, defense line. You as well, Coach Dunn. That's where it all starts and begins.
Oh yeah,
it starts and finishes. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
And you know, been I always said if Barry Sanders could have played behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, he would have put up ridiculous numbers.
Oh, no doubt.
He put up pretty ridiculous numbers as it was.
Yeah, he put up pretty ridiculous numbers anyway. So, I mean, Emmitt Smith was no slouch, but I just don't think he was as good as Barry Sanders.
Nah, well, I think you're right. Emmitt was amazing. His vision, I think, and his toughness were really good. But Barry was more electric. I mean, I would say as a runner.
Well, Emmitt was surrounded by just enormous talent.
Yeah,
enormous talent, in spite of Jerry Jones. Appreciate it, guys. You have a great week.
Good hearing from you, Terry. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to the drive. The drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. All right, we ran this a couple of days ago right at the end of the show because that's when, it had been posted there. Our buddy Jason Caldwell, who we talked to for briefly there at the beginning of the show, was among the media that was down in Mobile on Wednesday and had a chance to talk with Auburn football coach Alex Golish. I have read some of the comments. I haven't had a chance to hear the whole thing. Like I said, I got interrupted while while listening to this on the way over to the ball game on Wednesday night. But I know there's some folks that haven't had a chance to hear this. And again, courtesy of Auburn Undercover and Jason Caldwell, here are some of the comments from Auburn football coach Alex Golish about the Tigers as they have pretty much wrapped up the job of restocking the roster.
Are you in the final stages of that, or are there any other positions you're looking at adding? And it's kind of late in the game here with classes and everything like that.
Yeah, we have a little bit of room. It's this last part of there's going to be this last surge of kids that potentially graduate in May. They still got to go to school. It's like a thing still. So graduate in May. There's some late May out junior college guys. Some late qualifier high school guys. We've left ourselves a little bit of room, but for the most part, you feel like it's close to done.
Yeah. Running back room, being able to keep Jeremiah and adding multiple proven backs, I guess, what's your vision for that room, and how big was it to add Bryson and Vente and Nakai?
Yeah, you know what? It was a matter of adding just college reps. You feel like the younger you are in that room, the scarier it is going into the year. It was a matter of adding, like, Bryson brings real two.
Just you, building your app on
And at times there are commercials when you're running things off the internet, but we will get back to the comments from Alex Golish here just momentarily. Yeah, you just never know.
Okay, kick it up a notch. Create something smart.
Well, I'm on the other side of the board. As soon as you see the commercial end, let me know, Drew, and we'll go ahead and get back to Coach Golish. So, some of the comments from him down in Mobile. Huh?
It's loading now.
Oh, okay. All right. He's talking about, as we were saying, I mean, the players that are high school players that could be graduating, but then you've got the possibility of college guys and junior college guys that could be graduating. Golish, continue.
There's going to be this last surge of kids that potentially graduate in May. They still got to go to school. It's like a thing still. So graduate in May, there's some late May out junior college guys, some late qualifier high school guys. We've left ourselves a little bit of room. But for the most part, you feel like it's close to done.
Yeah. Running back room, being able to keep Jeremiah and adding multiple proven backs, I guess, what's your vision for that room and how big? Bryson and Nakai.
Yeah, you know what? It was a matter of adding just college reps. You feel like the younger you are in that room, the scarier it is going into the year. It was a matter of adding, like, Bryson brings two and a half years of starting game experience at the Power Four level. More than anything, the kind of kid he is. Like, he was hungry to go play in an offense where he can run the ball, wanted to play in the SEC, wanted to play against the best talent in the country. That's what you were looking for in general in the portal. You wanted guys that ran to an opportunity to play in the best league in the country and truly ran to an offense, at least offensively ran to an offense, and then defensively ran to a defense where they knew they were going to play at a high level. Bryson was that. Certainly Nakai brings. Nakai's still young. That's the thing. As excited as we were about Nakai, he's still a baby. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, missed his whole freshman year. Everything he did was kind of on raw talent, and he's still got to continue to develop. Tay, in the same breath, you wanted a guy that had experience playing. And running the ball is one thing. The pass protection is the biggest thing that comes with experience and seeing defenses and seeing pre-snap reads. And you feel like we went from, man, what exactly are we going to do here to a really, really good room. You started off with Jeremiah, having him back. It was actually just at his high school 2 days ago, like kind of a deja vu moment. Last time I was there was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I guess now, at a different school recruiting him. But he brings a veteran presence and a true Auburn man that started there, wants to finish there, and certainly really excited about that room.
You got DJ Broughton from this area over at MGM. Bryce Kane is from Baker High School. How important is the Gulf Coast in your recruiting efforts from this season and moving forward?
Yeah, huge. I think just really covering this state has been such a priority for us. It's where we started. You know, this period's so crazy. I think I end up with 9 days out on the road with finishing portal recruiting, which was a priority, our own team being a priority, and then being able to get out. But the entire state's huge. Certainly, it was absolutely huge for us. You look at the guys that have come out of here that have played at Auburn, absolutely huge.
Wanted to ask you about what's going on in college basketball right now with Charles Bediako and how that could translate potentially to college football. You know, if a guy declares for the draft, goes undrafted, or is even on a practice squad in the NFL, then potentially coming back and, you know, using up the rest of their eligibility in the college ranks.
Would you believe me if I haven't paid much attention to it? Crazy would add a bigger pool of players, wouldn't it? I don't know. I really don't. It would certainly add a bigger pool of kids. I think college football is evolving so fast, and every single time there's a situation like that, my antennas go up. And, you know, I think with every change or every ruling or lack of ruling, you got an opportunity to either sit and complain about it, which I think we tend to as coaches. I've always looked at it the other way. It's like, man, where's the loophole in here? Who's available out there that we can go get that fits what we do? But certainly fascinating. From the legal side, fascinating. How did it work out for him last weekend?
Pretty good. Well, he won last night.
Yeah.
14 and 6 in 18 minutes. So.
Gotcha.
Alex, this is the offensive line rebuild. What do you think of that room and having to go out and you guys brought in some experience, some depth. What do you think about the offensive line group so far?
Yeah, that was a group you go in and, if there was anything you were like, how's this going to play out? Because it wasn't just filling what you felt like were the starters. You felt like you needed to fill some backup roles. And we're in a situation where we walked in, signed a big freshman class and a really talented freshman class, and you felt like there was a really talented young group in there, but it was filling those roles where those guys can develop and give those guys time to develop. I think, you know, you kind of saw how it progressed. We started with the tackle spots. We felt like we worked to the interior of the line. Feel like we got a ton of experienced guys. That was what, similar to the running back group, we wanted guys that had played at a high level and not just a year, but guys that had started for multiple years and can understand the tempo at which defenses in this league play. And I think we did a really, really good job. I still feel like, man, if there's one out there, you feel like you can go get one. I think that's a position where you're always looking and you're never really done. But I do feel like we've got some veteran presence. I'm really excited about the youth in that room. You hope you don't find out about the youth here for a while, though.
How much does having a center and a quarterback who played for you before speed up the installation of the offense?
Monumental. I think absolutely priceless. It honestly lets you go to sleep at night a little bit, to where, you know, like, we're not there right now. You got our young coaches there. Obviously, they're with the strength staff, but they're plugging already. And I think every day that you can get ahead offensively and you feel like there's continuity and rhythm, you got a chance to have success. You can kind of skip that first couple of games where people are figuring it out. Both Cole and Byram honestly let you sleep at night a little bit, and And Cole has position flexibility. There's some guys in that room on the interior that have position flexibility, but I would tell you priceless.
Alex, on that similar note, I mean, how important is it to have guys with familiarity in this offense at other positions, being a receiver? And I guess, were those conversations maybe a little bit easier than some other guys in the portal? I know you've talked a lot about proof of concept. Those guys have had proof of concept within your offense. I guess, what were those conversations like with them following you from your previous stop?
Yeah, I think twofold. The familiarity with the offense is huge. To be honest with you, I think more than that, because you've got time, you can install an offense, and we're going to evolve offensively because it's going to fit personnel, and it's been that every year. I think just as important as that, and honestly more important in a lot of ways, is those guys coming in and almost stamping the staff, stamping myself, stamping several of the coaches, the strength staff, stamping those guys. And when I say stamping, the locker room controls the narrative of the program, right? Like, that's where guys either walk in and say, man, what the hell are we doing? Or they walk in and say, man, like, I like what's going on in here. Well, you've got a foundation of guys that either which way that conversation goes, they can say, man, like, hey, give that guy a shot. And that's everything. That's not just the coaches. That's not the offensive scheme. It's the strength staff. It's sports medicine. It's nutrition. It's every part of the program that touches these guys. Those guys can stand. And I think more than anything, that group of guys can say, hey, listen, like, whatever this was here, these guys are about culture, about relationships, about development. Like, these are real guys. And when you can have somebody walk into a locker room, especially guys that have played and have the respect of the guys around them, I think it helps you gain credibility quicker, helps you gain trust quicker. And that's what this game is right now, is it, from a roster retention standpoint, amongst other things, it truly is how fast can you build trust, how fast can you build a relationship with the guys that you haven't been around. And I think for the guys that stayed, that chose to stay, like, those guys' perception of what college football is totally based on their relationships and their experience with the previous staff, has nothing to do with us. And the guys that came with have, you know, give you a level of credibility that you need to have to be able to go and build quickly right now within the walls.
Alex Gulish speaking with the media down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And, yeah, Don, he sounds, I mean, he definitely sounds like he knows what.
Yeah,
you know,
sounds like a football coach. I like it.
He knows what he wants and how he expects to get there.
Yeah, and how to get it done, and what he expects, things out of his staff, out of the players, out of everybody involved in the Auburn football facility, the program. He's got a vision. He's got a plan, and I like that.
All right, we will get to our first break of hour number two. Slack, hang on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive, 22 minutes after 5 o'clock with Bill and Don here. Drew at the controls, and Slack is up next. Hey, Slack.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Spinning off what Coach said about, I guess, looking at what we got in the portal, late graduates, JUCO graduates. Would you pretty much say that what we already got right now, we pretty much set on just these guys are going to be competing for starting positions?
I would think so. I mean, there's a chance, but I mean, I don't think there's anything that you're like, oh, you're really waiting for this guy or that guy. I'll tell you right now, the two things they're looking for the most are the Chris Murray, who played at edge last year and I thought played pretty well, along with Kieron Crawford, has a waiver. He's waiting for the results of that from the NCAA to see if he can get an extra year. I believe he redshirted 1 year and then played four games the next year. If there was an injury involved, then there's a possibility he could get an extra year. I mean, who knows what's going on with the NCAA, but that's a guy that could definitely help, a proven edge rusher. And then there's a defensive lineman who played down at South Florida this past year for Coach Golish that also is awaiting a waiver that I think would be a nice addition as well. So those are the only two guys that I know of. I mean, I'm sure they'll be watching, and if there's a talent that either graduates and is eligible immediately or, you know, becomes eligible in junior college or something like that, they jump all over them. But no, I don't think you can count on anybody else, and it's pretty much going to be these guys.
I guess the question I was asking is, I mean, just say if it was three or four DBs that you say, okay, I want you to come in, but I need you to redshirt. I mean, would that
no,
be
I think they might do that with high schoolers. Yeah, okay. I think with they've got some room, and I think that's something he wants to do. He wants to have guys who've been in the program for a year or two, and they can put through the strength and conditioning and see how they do out there. You know, you can take some chances now that you've got 105 scholarships. Those guys would be more likely to stick around and have, you know, because, hey, they're getting an opportunity to be in an SEC school as compared to, you know, taking a getting an offer at a smaller school.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, Slack. 334-321-1390. And, yeah, that's one of the things I like. What that does is that can actually upgrade the spots that you used to have for your preferred walk-ons and your walk-ons.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because you probably get a little better player.
Yeah, well, you can offer them a little bit more than you could.
Yeah.
You could those walk-ons because they're going to at least get a full scholarship.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point and a good. I think it's a good plan.
Yeah.
If they do that, like you say, you can get a better player than you could just probably a preferred walk-on.
Oh yeah, so that's something to keep an eye on. That may be one of the reasons.
Think about that.
One of the reasons why Coach Golish is going to be speaking on National Signing Day. There may be some guys,
surprises.
And you know, hitting the state the way they did.
Yeah,
trying to get in there. I guarantee you, there's some coaches at some schools going, "Hey, here's a kid that I think's got a chance."
Oh yeah, they
but
probably
he needs,
got 50
but he
names
needs to be in your he needs to be in your strength and conditioning program.
Yep.
But he's the kind of kid who's going to stick with it.
That wants to come.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that in the past would be hoping to get walk-on preferred walk-on offers.
Yeah, I guarantee they got a bunch of names down there from coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, look at this kid. I'm going to send you tape or not even send you anymore. You just go online and look at it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, so appreciate that. That's a good question, Slack, and something to keep in mind as we head up toward what used to be such a big day. I mean, it is crazy to think about. I mean,
this weekend you'd be a nervous wreck. You'd have your final visits. A lot of guys want to bring in the top guys the last weekend to have the last visit.
Right.
Then Sunday night.
Well, you got to know the players. You got to know the personalities of the players, the ones that you want to get in first, that you feel like, oh, they're impressionable, and now everything's got to live up to what you did.
Right.
And the other ones who are sort of more seasoned vets, the guys that have been making lots of trips, it's like you want to get that last shot.
Yeah, and you were such a nervous wreck. The guys that had already been in early, you're worried all weekend. I hope they're not visiting somewhere
That's
else.
That's right. You want to hang on to the. You don't want to hear that they're not home.
Yeah, and you call and they don't answer.
or they answer, the background doesn't sound the same. I mean, you know you've done that.
Oh, yes. I had a guy that we had him locked up at Ole Miss. DeCenzo Miller, great running back.
Absolutely.
Came to everything we ever had. Came to our camp every time the door was open. His mom and him were there every game, 2 hours early. Monday night before signing date, or maybe the Saturday night, they took a trip with Grandpa over to
Because it's dead time. It's dead time once you Sunday that Sunday.
So
midnight.
This would have been Saturday night. I kept calling, didn't get him.
Wasn't home.
Finally got a hold of somebody the next day. He and his grandfather had went over and visited Jackie Sherrill at a Mississippi State basketball game. I didn't get to DeCenzo Miller. He went to Mississippi State.
That's
was
right.
A heck of a player. Great kid.
Yeah,
broke my heart.
Those kinds of things, I mean, they were commonplace.
Oh, yeah. Hide them out.
And it's one of the reasons the NCAA tried to make it a dead period there leading up because it used to be, I remember back with Coach Dye, I mean, that's when players would disappear.
Yes,
and coaches are driving all over the place trying to find them.
Well, you know, Bill, when I first started, I could sign a kid on signing morning.
That's right. You'd be
I could be in the house. You wanted
exactly
to beat the
right.
guy in at 7 a.m.
Yep.
I've been outside with another coach before in Montana State.
A little bit of a nudging match,
in Salem,
like I'm going to get
Salem,
in first.
Oregon. Yeah. No, I got the guy. Luckily.
I think that
I was a lot better shape back
those,
then.
You know, I want to see a movie about that. I want to see, you know.
I could write a book.
Because I've heard so many stories, and I've never really seen something about that.
Who was the guy they got in an airplane? Was that Tennessee or Alabama? They took a guy around the airplane, flew him around all night or something.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I'll remember next time I come on.
Oh yeah, but I mean there are so many stories
camping
about
outside the houses.
Yeah,
well I remember Cadillac Williams, Terry Price, and about five other guys sat above his house and watched who went in and out for like three nights in a row.
It's like stalking the kids, you know.
Terry did a great job.
But you felt like you had to. That was an investment that you felt like you definitely needed to cash in on.
I stayed one time at a guy's house till dead period started on a Saturday night.
There are all kinds of stories of coaches that were like, you know, the coaches from other teams wanting those guys kicked out. It's like I've heard of multiple. You know, multiple coaches sitting there on the couch.
Yes, and not leaving. And you're outside
and
waiting.
It's getting closer to midnight. Yeah.
Well, I waited because it was between – I was here at Auburn. I won't mention the kid's name. Between us and Ole Miss, I couldn't get the mom. She was a David Cutcliffe fan who's a great guy.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely is.
Great recruiter.
Uh-huh.
She had him going to Ole Miss. I got with the dad who – they were divorced – I sat in his trailer till 11:59 talking and left, and it was crazy stuff.
Where'd he wind up?
We got him.
All right, there you go. There you go. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to let you hear some audio as we get ready for Auburn-Tennessee basketball tomorrow night. But again, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, 334-321-1390 as we head into the final half hour of the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here as we head up towards 6 o'clock. Again, huge basketball game up in Knoxville tomorrow night. Stephen Pearl heading back to his alma mater.
Yeah.
Tigers on a 4-game winning streak. Tennessee. Feeling good getting back home after winning road games in Tuscaloosa and Athens this past week. So I thought we'd let you hear some of the comments from Stephen Pearl as the Tigers get ready for the Vols. There we go. Little pre-interview noise.
Back on the road. It's our third and four on the road. Obviously playing at a really tough spot. Tennessee's obviously really good at home. Really good in general this year. I think they've only lost one at home. Coming off two huge wins, both on the road at Alabama and at Georgia. Had a lot of step up in those games and, kind of similar to us last week when, we won two on the road, kind of changed the trajectory of their season and, they've physically just kind of went in there and punked both teams. And that's what they're really capable of doing. Have some really good pieces. Jacoby Gillespie and Nate Amet are an absolute handful. They're combining for, half their points, essentially, in conference so far this year. Both, bring different dimensions to what they do. And, we're going to have our hands full trying to guard those guys. And then they got a bunch of guys that just know what they're supposed to do. And they do a great job at it. So best offensive rebounding team in college basketball. In their SEC wins, they're averaging 20 offensive rebounds per game. It's nuts. While Florida was a battle, this one's, going to be that and some as far as trying to keep these guys off the offensive glass. Historically, we've had a hard time scoring on Tennessee. You know, told our guys, if you want to do something that last year's team couldn't do, and that'd be like score more than 50 points on Tennessee, because we.
Sorry to interrupt here, but I just felt like I needed to. I had not seen this. Somebody just posted to me. Philip Marshall has passed away.
No.
I have known Philip for over 40 years. I mean, probably well over 40 years. And Philip had lost so much weight and was feeling so much better. I had not seen Philip in a while. I see Ronnie Sanders had reported, and I apologize. I usually am checking different things, and I was not here in the last little while. But
I haven't seen anything either.
I mean, Philip, one of the best writers in the history of the state of Alabama and sports writers in the South and the country, I believe.
Yeah, that's a shock.
I am just stunned because Philip seemed to be doing so good and was feeling fine. We will continue. Let you hear more from Stephen Pearl.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Wanted to pass that along and our thoughts and prayers and sympathy to his family. For one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, he was always so good to us when we were here and covered us, and just a great guy. And man, oh man, like you said, Bill, condolences to him, his family, and loved ones. And man,
and, you know, he's not much older than us.
Yeah, I know. It's just seems like every day we lose another close friend or a family member, and that's why you got to just take every day and be good to people and. Just sad deal. Sad.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and get to break, and then we can run some more Stephen Pearl. But sad news here on a Friday evening. We're back with more here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware. At University Ace, we make
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday. Tough to continue after the news of long time. I mean, the most, I'd say probably the biggest name that there was left in the state as far as sports writers, Philip Marshall, passing away earlier today. I mean, we got that news and passed that along, but we were, again, we've got to get till 6 o'clock and a huge ball game tomorrow night in Knoxville.
Yep.
And we were letting you hear some of the comments from Stephen Pearl. We'll continue with those comments as the Tigers are on their way to Knoxville.
Last year. So Coach Barnes has done an unbelievable job, with everything that they've accomplished and all the success that they've had. They play with a different level of toughness and physicality and grit, and, it's served them well. So another phenomenal opportunity for our guys, to try and beat one of the best programs in our league over the last, 10, 11 years. So, take any questions.
Justin. Steve, you talked about, I think, a couple of times after Florida and after this last game where you're not sure this team would have won that game 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Do you attribute that to the middles on the court, a mental thing, maybe just a belief in what they're doing? And then could you go back 3 weeks and see it coming? Like, were there small things you think back and go, there's a thing that I saw or a thing that happened that now looking back, I could connect to what they're doing now?
Yeah, I think we've just been really consistent in our routine as far as what we've been doing after every game, as far as learning from our mistakes and learning from the good things that we did. And all that means nothing if you don't apply it to the next game. I think our guys have done a good job of applying it to the next game for the most part. After we start 0-2, We were 1-3, and I was like, we're getting better. And no one wanted to hear that, and, you know, everybody thought I was crazy for saying it. But, like, you know, I saw what practice was like every day. We had great energy in practice, and the guys were just, you know, locked in. You know, just stayed consistent with our film preparation, what we did in film, our preparation and the scouts. And ultimately it's led, you know, to 4 straight and 5 out of our last 6. So I just think more than anything, through ups and through downs, we've been consistent in conference play and everything that we've done, and we got to continue to do so if we want to, you know, keep trying to get better.
You mentioned the rebounding, but is this another one where you kind of go in like the Florida game and be like, all right, if you don't check out on every possession, they're just going to throw it off the backboard again, Sean?
Yeah. If winning is important to you and that's what matters, then you'll check out every possession. If you don't, they're going to make you look stupid. You know, they had 26 offensive rebounds at Georgia. If Georgia gets if they get one less offensive rebound, Georgia probably wins the game. It's not just offensive rebounds. You know, in their SEC wins, 20 offensive rebounds, and they're scoring like 18 second chance points off those. So it's like it's turning into points. So, you know, if Georgia could have just held them to one less, they probably win that game. So it's a really important part of the game, and they do such a good job of just physically crashing every single possession. And, you know, they have multiple bigs that can just kind of come in droves and be effective. They had 2 guys that had 7 offensive rebounds in the last game, which is nuts. So, if winning is important to our guys, you know, we'll physically check out every possession. If it's not, then, you know, we'll look silly.
Ted's got here in the notes, you guys are 55% from the floor in the second half in your wins this season. I know you talked about, you know, Burgo and how good of a job he did in that Texas game, but just how nice has it been this season to not only have somebody that you trust so much to make adjustments offensively, but somebody that you're very familiar with in terms of y'all coaching together?
Yeah, I mean, it's one, testament to Mike and, you know, making adjustments at halftime. But two, it's, you know, I think our guys have done a good job of understanding that early in games, teams are fresh and teams are going to guard you a little bit differently than they will in the latter 20 minutes. And as long as we trust what our game plan is and just continue to do those things, like, ultimately teams will break down. And when teams get tired, what do? They foul. And that's what's kind of happened in the second half of games this year. Mike's done a great job making adjustments, and our guys have done a great job of just being locked into the things that we need to continue to do in order to attack what they do. Tennessee historically has been one of the best defenses in college basketball every single year, and they've given us a ton of fits on the offensive end, and we've struggled to manufacture points. So it's going to be another challenge, you know, tomorrow, you know, in Knoxville, because they do such a great job of, one, plugging gaps, making you pass the ball. And, you know, we have a team that has – we have a bunch of guys – not a bunch of guys. We have guys that can go get their own, you know. We got to do a really good job in this game of being willing to share the basketball and get off it once we draw multiple defenders, because that's what they're going to do. And they just make multiple efforts, and they fly around. And, you know, it's going to require guys to knock down shots. And, you know, we just got to stay consistent with the things that we've been doing.
Coach, knowing your prior history with the University of Tennessee, how emotional will it be, you know, returning back to Knoxville this time as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make it about me. You know, I've been there before as an assistant, so I don't think the emotions will be much different. You know, played 5 years there and gave, you know, all my blood, sweat, and tears to that university, and had a lot of great times and won a lot of games. And, you know, everything's connected. You know, I don't meet my wife if it wasn't for the University of Tennessee, because I went to Nashville to visit a former teammate, Jordan Howell, and a buddy of mine, Bubba South, whose parents might be sitting right next to our bench actually on Saturday, which would be cool. He was the one that was working out at Brittany's gym, and he was like, you need to come meet this girl. So, like, if I didn't play basketball at Tennessee, I don't meet my wife, I don't have my daughter. You know, it's all connected. So, like, you know, from that standpoint, you know, and half my groomsmen I went to Tennessee with, like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, was being, you know, in Knoxville. And then if they hadn't fired our asses, like, we wouldn't be here. So, like, best thing that's ever happened to me is being in Auburn, too. So it's like, I can't thank them enough for everything that happened in Knoxville. Best years of my life, you know. Did medical sales for 3.5 years. I learned from one of the greatest sales reps in medical sales history, Ron Barzak. I know I'm giving you a lot of names you don't give a shit about. But, like, that all correlated to me understanding how to recruit. Sales and, like, so you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that happened at Tennessee that have, you know, shaped my life to what it is today. So I'm eternally grateful. I would like a Letterman's jacket at some point because I still haven't gotten that. But, like, my years there, like, you know, were some of the best of my life personally because it shaped the man I am today. And, you know, a lot of things kind of fell in place for me to, you know, be where I'm at in this year.
I was going to ask you about Nate for them. Seems like really an SEC play. He's starting to kind of get going, and, you know, even more. What have you seen out of him and just the challenge he faces? He's really talented, but also just really large as well.
You know, Coach Barnes and his staff have done such a good job with him. You know, early in the year when you watched him, he was upright and he didn't really get in a stance and play physically offensively, and people were kind of knocking him off his spot. And as the year's gone on, you can just kind of see his progression of being way more aggressive and way more physical in what he does. And there was no better game to look at than the Alabama game. He was a monster in that game, and he's just gotten way more confident and way more aggressive in what he's doing offensively. And that's a testament to Coach and his staff just continuing to work with him every single day. And, you know, they're going to have that kid ready for, you know, the NBA draft come June. And, you know, he's going to be a handful. So, you know, we got to do a great job of just trying to be physical with him and not let him get to his spots on the floor. Because when he does, like, you know, he's legit 6'10", 6'11". He's going to shoot right over the top of you. So, you know, they're like, if you were going to compare him to somebody, you know, he's not as good of a shooter as Jabari, but, like, he's got some, like, a lot of that in his game. You know what I mean? And, that's what makes him, you know, such a tough matchup, because if you put a guard on him, he's going to post him straight at the top of you. If you put a big on him, he's able to, you know, drive around you. So he's a great player, and, you know, I know our guys are excited about the matchup.
Yeah, that was my question as well. Just if, I didn't know if he gave you any Jabari vibes and asked and answered.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a super talented player. Doesn't shoot the same volume of threes that Jabari did. But, you know, that his mid-range, you know, turnaround jump shot that Jabari had was so good. He has that. So, you know, special player and, you know, big-time talent.
Steve, you talked earlier in this just today about getting in the gaps. I've heard you say that. I've heard a lot of other coaches say that. It's a new phrase to me. Is it a new paradigm, like, defensively, to get in gaps? Patino used to talk about got to get deflections. Is it the right same concept, basically?
Yeah, I mean, part of being in gaps is, you know, deflections is more stuff like on the ball, but, you know, being in gaps is more just about offering, you know, help to the guy that's on the ball. Tennessee does such a great job assisting the basketball that might, you know, that could be a challenge, because anytime teams are in gaps, they do a great job of getting off it and to the next guy and they make shots. So, but what we've been doing as far as loading to the ball, since we don't have great rim protection, has been really, I mean, it's been the reason why we've won 5 out of the last 6, because we've just really offered help, loaded to the ball, and made teams settle for contested threes. And, you know, while teams are shooting a good percentage against us from three, you know, you got to kind of trust what it does over a 40-minute game. And, you know, it burned us at Missouri, because they made 7 in the first half. But I think for the most part, it's been really good. And it's given our guys more confidence guarding the ball. They know that there's somebody to their right and to their left just in case their guy does drive by. And so it's something that this team, that it's been the identity of this team, and it's one that we got to continue to build on.
Sure. And I was asking Michael last week for them. I mean, he never comes off the floor, and he's been really shooting well at home, especially this year. Just how big is he, and what kind of challenges does he bring?
I mean, he leads them in points. He leads them in assists. He leads them in steals. You know, he does everything for them. You know, they're probably their – he's their best volume three-point shooter. He's got a lot of, you know, he's really shifty with his handle, can go either direction, does a great job of setting the table for the rest of those guys, getting other guys involved. So, you know, one of the best guards in our league, but you're right, he's going to play the entire game. So, you know, our guys have to do a great job of defending him without fouling and, you know, try and wear him out with the things that we're doing defensively. And, you know, you got to make him cover a little bit, but, you know, he's just another guard that Rick's brought in that's just seamlessly fit into that role. And, you know, he's done a great job for him. So, really good player and, you know, just has such a big impact on what they do as a whole.
you guys compared Sway a couple times in the summer, kind of having a skill set of Isaac Okoro, and there were a couple possessions in the Texas game where you could really almost felt like you were watching Isaac there. How much of a boost is it for you as a defensive-minded coach to have a guy developing like that you can sort of deploy in a lot of different ways?
It's great because you can get in film and just, like, watch 30 seconds of Sebastian guarding Jordan Pope one-on-one and be like, that's what it looks like. So if you guys want to play in the NBA like he is one day, guard like him. So it makes everyone be more accountable for their one-on-one defense. He covers up so many mistakes, you know, just because he makes multiple efforts. And he's just a willing learner, you know. While he made some mistakes as well, like, he's the first one to try and figure out what he's got to correct and how to be better at it. So he just, you know, a lot of his impact doesn't show up in a box score. But, man, as a freshman, like, him and Isaac are two of the most impactful freshmen that, you know, we've ever had. And, you know, he's the difference between winning and losing. So he's been great. And, you know, I just know he'll continue to improve as the year goes on.
Anything else?
Just Stephen Pearl from earlier today, as the Tigers and the Tennessee Vols will play tomorrow night at 7:30. We're just about out of time here on the Friday Drive. Don, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Hope you and everybody stays warm this weekend. Be ready for that.
Take care of your pets.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as we go, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, again, as we talked a little while ago about the sad news about Philip Marshall passing away. Learned so much from Philip. I wasn't a writer. I mean, I did do some writing back in the day for a couple of different folks. But, I mean, just how to handle yourself and try to be fair.
Yep.
And unbiased,
right?
And not to jump to conclusions,
exactly.
And don't report something until
you know
that it's it. So
yeah, it's a sad day, and like I said, he was always good to us when we were here coaching. And condolences to his family and friends and the Auburn family.
Oh, you're right, and we will hear there will be some great tributes written. And, you know, over the next few days,
I'm sure
from
Monday you'll have a lot of
some
stuff.
Of the many that he has guided through the years.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're out of here. Ready?